It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Happy Friday. Steve, you made it.
Yeah. I did.
It is a beautiful day out there. Lots going on. We've got a great show planned for you today. We'll be talking some headlines as well as Lauren Levy will be weighing in. I thought I saw that mortgage rates are at an all-time low. And of course, Lauren Levy is a specialist in the home mortgage business or in the mortgage business. So it'll be interesting to talk with him about that. Third and fourth segment, we will be talking with Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners, which is an oil and gas investment banking firm, about what's going on in the energy markets. Affordable, reliable, and efficient energy has brought more people out of poverty and improved so many people's lives. And so we want to see what's going on with the energy markets.
Can I go back and qualify what you just asked me? Or
I can't. Yes, you can.
Yeah, it's Friday. I made it physically, but I think I left my sanity in the dirt two or three days ago.
I think that, when you look at what's going on out there, it is just unbelievable. So we'll be talking about some things on that. Be sure and check out my website. It's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And sign up for our weekly newsletter that comes out on Sundays. We have some great op-eds as well as our new Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts. And we'll have three podcasts in today. We recorded one yesterday with Doug Townsend, who's running for Senate District 31. That was really an interesting conversation. Steve, I don't know if you got to hear much of it, but it was really kind of going deep into these issues, and I really like doing that. Were you able to hear any of that? I know you were working on other things while we were doing that.
I was, in terms of my attention, it was there, and then it was gone. It was there, then it was gone. So,
is that like when you were in second grade?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I am the poster child for ADHD.
that's a really great podcast. And then today, Pastor Christine Coleman reached out to me. She said, we have got to talk about this Black Lives Matter movement, and she actually survived the Rwandan genocide, and so we're going to be recording a podcast with her. And then Ben Martin, just our rich history. We did not get through everything on this last show that we did regarding America's founding documents and great speeches, and my friends, these are things that you need to get your brains around. So those will be rolled out in the newsletter on Sunday, so be sure and sign up for that. As we look at these issues, put your thinking caps on. Rudyard Kipling, he was born in 1865. He died in 1936. He wrote The Jungle Book, among other things. He says, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. And these questions are so important because it moves you towards truth, which goes to this other quote, fear knocked on the door, truth answered, and there was no one there. And we have talked about this on the show for years, that it's freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Now, what's happening out there is they're using fear to put into place their force. We're kicking the tires on socialism, what it really looks like. You've got elites, and then everybody else will be equal in their misery. Just take a look at the six blocks in Seattle, Steve. You know, all those six blocks that are now under anarchists there, all those shop owners, all those people that are living there, they're all equal in the misery right now. And so that's what socialism is. It's the haves, the have-nots, the elite, the regular guys. And what we are seeing with all this policy, for example, Steve, when we were talking on the way in regarding these taxes and fees and all the things that they're doing down at the State House, It's a direct assault upon the small businessman or woman, and it's an assault upon the middle class. That is what has been so unique about the American idea, is this big middle class that people could go out, they could create businesses, keep most of the fruits of their labor, and we had this beautiful middle class. This is an assault upon the middle class, Steve.
Maybe the operative word there is big when you said the big middle class, because the middle class unto itself probably doesn't have really deep pockets, but it is a big distributed middle class, so it's still ripe for the picking. It's the way the government sees it. It's ripe for the picking.
And the government is supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. But, man, that's flown out the door here in Colorado. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable, or excessive taxation or fear. So what you're seeing in the downtown Seattle and that Capitol Hill area is they are taking people's livelihoods via force right now, Steve.
Well, I've been collecting too many notes here. I need to find a different way to do this. I got sticky notes all over the console, and then I did print this out. The leadership in Seattle appeared to be in disarray, and this is from Fox News, on Friday after the citizens' embattled mayor called the protesters patriotic.
Now they're calling for the mayor's job.
Well, and then even the governor was quoted as like, I didn't know this. You know, whatever it was that they threw some facts at him, he's like, I didn't know this. Well, where have you been?
Yeah.
So this is the leadership of the people of Washington State.
So the positive thing is the veil is off. We know what we're dealing with here. And a couple of things. We've got, you know, I think people are hungry to do something. And so first of all, June 22nd, that is a week from this coming Monday, we are kicking off our salon series with Helen Raleigh. You know, she immigrated from China, totally loves the American idea, and Dr. Paul Prentice, with their presentation on the three punches to knock down democratic socialism. It'll be at Water's Edge Winery. The tickets are $20 plus a processing fee. Then you pay for what you want to eat and drink. And it's going to be a great evening. So go to my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, to buy your tickets. Secondly, Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas, and we did a great podcast with them that's on the website now. They've been in the black entertainment business for many years, successful businessmen, and they are Trump supporters. They grew up in, you know, black Democrat households, but when they heard Donald Trump talk about intellectual property rights, they said, we're going to do what we can to help him get elected. They actually were at a meeting with him. They were down in Georgia. That's where they live. Reggie grew up here. Donald Trump asked them, these black businessmen and women, to go to swing states and work to move the needle. So Johnny and Reggie, they've secured a bus that we're going to wrap, you know, and to clarify that would be, you know, wrapping it with the I'm a Trumpster message. And they are going to take that into ethnic neighborhoods, which is so important right now. And so they have financed all the stuff that they're doing with I'm a Trumpster, 98% of their own money. But they need $10,000 to wrap this bus. And so let's do this from the grassroots. And so go to I'm a Trumpster, imatrumpster.com. Contribute at least $50. More if you can do that. For every $50 that you contribute, you get one of these cool battle masks that the guys put together. And then we are going to have a kickoff of the bus tour on June 26th. More details on that. But man, you know, do something. Don't just sit there. Do something. These guys have stepped forward, so let's help them with that. Our inspiration today, Peter Drucker. Shortly before he died in 2005, Peter Drucker was celebrated by Business Week magazine as the man who invented management. Naturally, when most people hear that description, they think of corporate management. And Drucker did, in fact, advise a host of giant companies, along with nonprofits and government agencies. But he came to his life's work not because he was interested in business per se. What drove him was trying to create what he termed a functioning society. Drucker had, after all, seen firsthand what happens when society stops functioning. This was the central theme of the first of the 39 major books that he published over the course of his long and productive career. The End of Economic Man traced the rise of the Nazis in the aftermath of the Great War and Depression. These catastrophes broke through the everyday routine, which makes men accept existing forms, institutions, and tenets as unalterable laws, Drucker wrote. They suddenly exposed the vacuum behind the facade of society. Looking for a miracle, he added, the masses turned towards the abracadabra of fascism. Drucker was determined never to let things break down like that again. And the only way to do that was to build effective and responsible institutions, including those that by the 1940s were emerging to be the most powerful in the world, the big American corporations. Management practiced well was Drucker's bulwark against evil. He was born in 1909. He died in 2005. And he says, if you want something new, you have to stop doing something old. And Steve, as you and I were talking about this, if this was going to be our quote for today, one would say, oh, so tearing down the statues and renaming our bases, our military bases, is doing something new about something that's old. But actually what is happening with this tyranny is really, really old. And so we need to go what is new. And what is new is the American idea that the patriots, the real patriots in 1776, they made a declaration that they said every man has these unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that they are all created equal. And that is what is new in the history of mankind. And that is where we need to be going to, instead of this fascism, this tyranny that we are seeing play out in our country right now, Steve.
I heard yesterday that, they figureheaded Nancy Pelosi, that she had a list of statues in the Washington, D.C. area that had to go. And I'm looking at this, staring at it, and it's like those statues have been there for 80, 100 or more years. Why now? And it's like, all right, you're obviously showing how much a history, world history, that you really don't know. Because this was the activity of the Nazis in the late 20s, early
30s. Exactly. This is exactly what happened. Before we go to break, we'll be talking with Lauren Levy in just a minute. We have this amazing team that I work with Crawford Broadcasting, Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And as you all know, Patty does our research. And Steve, there are some times that actually we will say something on the show and then I will hear it possibly on national radio or on television, national television, either that today or within the next few days. To my knowledge, nobody else has found this, and Patty found this. She said, if you go to the BLM website to make a donation, you are directed to Act Blue. It says, we appreciate your support of the movement and our ongoing fight to end state-sanctioned violence, liberate black people, and end white supremacy forever. Donate to fuel our campaign for justice. Your contribution will benefit Black Lives Matter Global Network. Act Blue is a big Democrat fundraising machine, if you will. And their top 10 places that they gave money to, they gave Bernie 2020 $186 million. Biden for president, $119 million. Elizabeth Warren, $93 million. Pete for America, $78 million. The Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee, $55 million. Amy for America, $43 million. Friends of Andrew Yang, $31 million. The Democrat Senatorial Campaign Committee, $31 million. The Democrat National Committee, $29 million. Amy McGrath for Senate, $29 million. When you go to Black Lives Matter, they are pointing you to make a contribution to here. Do you not see how the Democrat Party and Black Lives Matter and the destruction of our communities are so closely connected. And if you go to Act Blue, they have a number like the debt clock. Steve, would you like to take a guess right now, this morning, at this minute, how much they've raised since 2004?
I'd probably be way off the mark, so go ahead and share it.
$5.2 billion.
Wow.
You heard it here.
You put that and pair it up with the money that George Soros seems to have to throw around. That's formidable.
It is formidable. So let's go to break.
Although I have to laugh, though. Looking at that list that you just read down, how many of those people are already gone? I mean, the only one on the list, and all those Democratic...
with all that money that was spent.
...candidates, I guess. The only one there is still Biden, and he's questionable. Highly questionable. Yeah.
But the connection here between what is happening, the tearing up of our cities... and just all of this is so connected, and it goes right back to the Democrats. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Lauren Levy regarding what's happening in the mortgage market. Really interesting. Yesterday, the stock market got kicked around. We'll talk with Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour about that. But what does that mean for mortgage rates? So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
It is time to get into the ring in the battle of ideas raging in America today.
How? By understanding the prevailing narratives and equipping yourself with the tools to engage with thoughtful, reasoned, and persuasive responses. Join Helen Raleigh, fervent American who immigrated from China, Dr. Paul Prentice, and Kim Munson, Monday, June 22nd, for our Three Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism Salon Series, located at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial. Go to KimMunson.com to purchase your ticket. Again, that's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And hurry, tickets are selling fast.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And sign up for, go buy your tickets for our Three Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism, which will be June 22nd. On the line with me is one of my valued partners, and that is Lauren Levy. He is, his company is Polygon Financial Group, and he works with a number of different mortgage companies. And Lauren Levy, happy Friday, first of all. How are you?
Same to you, Kim. Good morning. I'm doing great.
I thought I saw go across the news tape yesterday that that mortgage rates had dropped below 3%. Was I dreaming that, or is that true?
No, that is true. Yesterday was the first day. I think they said that yesterday was the lowest mortgage rates have ever been.
Wow. So there's an opportunity here. Yes.
Yes, there is. There's been an opportunity. We've been talking about it for a while. You know, you mentioned before the break how you're going to talk to Jason McBride about what happened with the stock market yesterday, but that is what drives mortgage rates as well, and that is why rates hit the all-time low yesterday, because of the pullback in the market. And you know, they kind of go hand in hand. We call it loosely correlated. And so that's what provided the opportunity yesterday. Today we'll see the markets looking to open up a little bit better, but yeah, rates were really low yesterday.
You know, Lauren, when I've been talking with Jason over the last few days, you know, the NASDAQ had hit an all-time high, and he had mentioned that, you know, might be time to maybe take some profits. And, you know, what happens, I think sometimes people say, oh, I think I'll get a little bit more out of that market, or I'll let mortgage rates go down a little bit more. And, you know, if you can... nobody can hit the exact low or the exact high. If you can hit that sweet spot, that middle 80%, you know, get, you know, close on, for example, on interest rates right now. I mean, I, gosh, I'd be surprised if they go much lower, but I mean, they might, but this is just an amazing opportunity for people to refinance or to buy a home.
It's absolutely right. And, you know, Jason can talk about the things that you hear in the market trading with the two emotions of fear and greed, because you're afraid you're going to miss the all-time high in the market, or in our case, miss the low of the interest rates, or greed, meaning that you want more, like you're saying. What I tell people in the mortgage market is, if the situation that someone can provide you saves you a lot of money and looks like it's going to be a good deal and make you happy and improve your life, go ahead and do it. And then if rates do go lower, we can always come back 6 months, a year later if they're lower, and do it again. It's not that difficult. It is just some paperwork. It's not that hard. And oftentimes what I'll try to do the second time around is help cover as much of the closing costs as I can, so that people won't feel like they have to pay twice. But I always tell people, if you can get something today that makes you happy, get it, improve your life, and then we'll wait and see what happens.
Well, and if people do just a mortgage checkup with you, there's no cost, because you're picking up the appraisal right now for all of the listeners for our show.
That's right. And the mortgage checkup in and of itself is on the front end. That's just a conversation. It might be a credit check if necessary, and just to see if people can be helped. And that's completely free. And then if they decide they want to go ahead and move forward, if there is an appraisal required, which there isn't always an appraisal required, but if there is, then yes, that I am paying for that for your listeners. And so it really reduces the cost of doing the loan in the first place.
And Lauren, as we were preparing for this call today, you had mentioned a success story from one of our listeners just recently. Would you share that with everyone, please?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about it even after we talked to Kim more about this, but because one of the biggest thing I like about this job is it seems like every day is another success story comes along. So you and I spoke about one where this person called and had heard about an interest rate that I had mentioned. And in their particular situation, they wouldn't have gotten that particular interest rate based on what they wanted to do. They wanted to combine their first and second mortgage, which that raises your rate because that's considered a cash out loan. So we were able to figure out another way that they could pay off that second mortgage, so that they're only refinancing their first, which was able to get them that lower rate and saving them significant amount of money. But after we spoke yesterday, I had another person call me who I know is financially strapped a little bit. And she was calling me about her child of hers, an adult child who was looking to buy a house and was having some trouble. And while I had her on the phone, I said, why don't we take a look at your loan? And it turns out that she is able to refinance and save about $195 a month, which with her job situation the way it is, that is a ton of money to her.
Awesome.
And to hear her talk about how you could save $200, she was almost moved to tears just in the conversation. And it was amazing. That's the type of stuff that I get to do every day, and just save people money and help get people into homes that they wanted to buy. Because with the rates lower, people can afford a higher priced home. You've had guests on that talk about how home values have, if nothing, been going up. And the lower the rates, the more buying power people have. So they've been able to get into homes they maybe thought they couldn't, and have a manageable payment. And that's the best part of what I do.
Well, that is just awesome. So I would recommend that people give you a call, to do this mortgage checkup. And of course, regarding buying or selling your home, Karen Levine, REMAX award-winning realtor, give her a call at 303-877-7516, 303-877-7516. So that's Karen's number. And Lauren, yours is pretty easy as well. It's 303-880-8881, right?
That's right. Easy to remember.
303-880-8881. And my gosh, another success story. And so this is an opportunity. Don't sit and say, oh, I think I'll do that tomorrow. You know, when opportunity knocks at the door, answer it. Right, Lauren?
That's right. That's right. Because we don't know. I mean, rates aren't going to go from 299 to 399 overnight. That's not going to happen. But they could go from 299 to 3.1 overnight. And so if you see a number out there, or you've heard of things being low and you have an interest, I would call and see where things are at, because the market does move each day.
Okay, so that number is 303-880-8881. Lauren Levy, have a beautiful weekend. You'll probably be working after this conversation all weekend.
Most likely.
Have a great day. Jason McBride. Jason McBride. I was wondering how that crystal ball of yours is doing, because we've talked about maybe taking some profits as this market has gone up, and then yesterday it kind of got kicked around. So, Jason McBride, how are you doing this Friday morning?
Oh, well, I'm doing just wonderful, Kim, and you're right. We had a tough day yesterday. It seemed like they couldn't quite decide why the market was doing what it was doing. First, they were saying because they were worried about the virus spiking again. Then they were saying it was because of Jerome Powell saying the economy wasn't going to recover quick enough. And there was a third excuse out there somewhere. I'm sure all of those may have contributed to some degree, but maybe people were just ready to sell a little bit. Mm-hmm. And with being kind of stretched tight, in my opinion, the way we were, it just kind of fed on itself. So, yeah, we saw an 1,800-point drop in the Dow yesterday. That's a pretty good-sized percentage. But it looks like this morning the futures are up about 500 right now. So we'll see how we open, Kim, and then we'll see if we can hold that throughout the day and recover some of this.
Well, you know, since all the amusement parks have been closed, if you want to get on a roller coaster, you can just watch the stock market for sure. You know?
Well, that's true. Just take your Dramamine first.
That's for sure. But there's always opportunity, Jason. But the important thing is that people sit down, they think about their own individual risk tolerance, you know, and then they figure out with you and your other colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management, their own individual plan that works for them with their risk tolerance and their goals. And, you know, good planning is what's necessary, you know, and you can sleep better at night when the market is so crazy. So any comments on that, Jason, before we go to break?
No, I think that's good advice, Kim. Having a plan in place and knowing why you did what you did may not make all of the concern go away, but at least you have something to refer back to instead of just flailing when things get kind of scary like this. But I'll also kind of go with what something similar to what Lauren was saying. You know, don't get caught up in thinking, oh, if I would have just sold yesterday, oh, I was going to do something to change my allocation or my portfolio. I do want to make it safer, but gosh darn, I'm not going to do it now because the market went down, and if it'll just get back up to where it was, then I'll do something. Well, that's how you end up getting kind of caught, and it keeps going down, down, down. Remember, Kim, as I say all the time, only the liars get out exactly at the top.
True that, true that. So, Jason McBride, have a great weekend. It is a beautiful day in Colorado. And just have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. And the number over there at Presidential Wealth Management is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Natalie will be at the switchboard at that 7:30. So be sure and give Jason and his colleagues a call. So talk to you on Monday, Jason.
Have a great show, Kim.
Okay, and we're going to go to break. When we come back, Tom Petrie is our guest. He is with Petrie Partners, which is an oil and gas investment banking firm. And we'll talk about what happened to the energy markets. And, you know, we also need to remember that affordable, reliable, and efficient energy helps power our lives and has brought more people out of poverty than anything else in the history of mankind. So let's go to break. We'll be right back with Tom Petrie.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me is Tom Petrie. He is with Petrie Partners, which is an oil and gas investment banking firm with offices here in Denver and in Houston. And Tom Petrie, welcome to the show. Happy Friday.
Same to you, Kim. It's good to be here.
Okay. We just were talking with Jason McBride, and the financial markets, the stock market had a pretty big drop yesterday. What happened in the energy markets?
They participated. Oil was down big. In fact, oil was down something like 9% versus the market down 7%. So they fully participated and then some.
So what is happening, Tom Petrie?
Well, you know, it is that classic case that once you bottom and you start to come out, people say, gee, I've seen this movie before. I think I know how it plays out. And they begin to see the future a little too soon. And I think there was some of that definitely going on. The geopolitics of oil right now are very much driven by the role that OPEC Plus, that is the traditional OPEC members, plus Russia, have played in bringing us out of the bottoming of the low price. Remember, oil got was in the 40s, in the low 40s. It dropped to the it tested, went right through the 30s, like a hot knife through butter, and then broke 20. And then for one day, it actually went to a negative price because of some real dislocations for hedge fund settlements and so on, for hedging settlements, I should say. So that's what we're dealing with. And then once we started to come out, people thought, this one's over. Well, nothing's over at this moment because we've got so many less than fully defined drivers right now. So the market's a little bit manic. On certain days, it can be constructive and see how recovery can unfold as we open up. And on other days, it focuses on two or three items that may come up that could be depressing. And recently, the things that did that and just happened to coincide with a stock market decline, Libya's had a civil war. So Libyan production's been off. Well, it's beginning to look like Libyan production may start to come back because the civil war has been winding down. That was supportive of oil prices. Even when they were falling, they would have fallen even further if Libyan production had been there. With it coming back on, that was something for people to worry about. Another thing, the Saudis decided that they wanted to really encourage people in the month of May, so they put out sort of a special benefit to global markets that they would cut not just what they said they would cut, but another million barrels a day beyond what they said they would cut. Then they decided, well, let's not let them believe that we're going to do that ad infinitum. Let them make sure we give them fair notice. We're only going to do that in June. We're not going to do that in July. So those are the kinds of things that created the headwinds that where we get that sharp reduction. Okay. It's already on the way back, I think, but time will tell.
Now, is Libya part of OPEC as well?
They are. They are part of OPEC. But when you're running a civil war, they're not the most engaged member of OPEC.
Probably not. Their attention is
to understate the case.
You know, we talked about this last time you were on about the Saudis and the Russians that, you know, I thought I'd seen a headline that the Saudis could actually maintain a really low price per barrel. But you actually brought something up that I hadn't thought about, that they don't have a big diversified economy. Neither Russia nor the Saudis do. So they need a higher price of oil to maintain their governments.
That's right. You know, they have populations that want other goods and services that are available globally that they can't provide internally. So they need trade credits from what they can sell that the world needs, and that's oil. In the case of Russia, it's oil and gas. But if you're going to have a defense establishment, and in that part of the world, that's a good thing to have if you're going to have some security. And if you're going to meet the social needs of, in the case of Saudi, around 30 million people, and in the case of Russia, 140 million or so people, you really do need that. And so you have to build those, the credits that you have to build up to meet the needs of those people is part of their break-even price to run a sustainable government. Now, for a short period, they can do the low price because they do have good margins at low prices on the oil. But when you really try to run it as a functioning economy where people have faith in the future, you have to build in some of these other considerations and not believe that you can just continue to just look at a margin that's the production margin.
So what would you say are their, you know, their ideal price per barrel, the Saudis and the Russians?
Well, for a year like we're in right now, they can take less than what they need, but they still would like to, I would say, something with a four handle. In the case of Russia and Saudi, mid-40s price would work for getting through this year. If you take a 3 to 5 year view, they really want to be much higher than that. And I would say they want to be on a path that gets them back to 65 to 75. And that involves being somewhat frugal about how they make their expenditures. If you do the arithmetic on the break-even price, you'd conclude that a 7 handle for the Russians and an 8 handle for the Saudis would get you to the arithmetic break-even, considering those social costs that I talked about.
Okay, so then let's jump over here to America, and in particular here in Colorado. We've had innovation in the energy markets. What was it back in the 80s that Jimmy Carter said that we'd be running out of oil within the next, you know, decade or so?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that's what people don't think about, and that is the creativity and innovation of the brain, of man's brain, of coming up with new things. And so this hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling did something which was amazing, and that was within just the last few years. America became energy independent, and that really changed things from a geopolitical standpoint.
It did. It was transformational, and that's a word that gets overused in some cases, but in this case, it's right on point. We redefined the nature of the hydrocarbon resource in the United States and to some degree elsewhere in the world, but in the United States, because we had more downhole, we had more penetrations of the Earth's crust, we knew more about the subsurface than any other place in the world. And we decided that rather than finding oil under the old model, where it had to be generated in one area and migrate to an optimal reservoir elsewhere, we started going right to the source rock. And that's where fracking comes in. As long as you have a positive relationship between the amount of energy you have to put in the ground to break up the rock and make it mobile for the oil and the gas, and as long as it's 5 to 7 times better, that the energy you get out is only, if that's one unit of energy in, you need 5 to 7 times that amount of energy out. And if you have that, you have a very transformed resource base. And that's what's happened. That's the essence of it.
Well, and what does that do from a national security standpoint for America?
Well, all we have to do is look back to the 70s and parts of the 80s to realize how much we truly were hostage to what was happening in the Middle East. That's why when the Iranian Revolution came along, we had to begin to reorient ourselves to how vulnerable we were to the Middle East. The Yom Kippur War before that in 1973, Iranian Revolution 1979, each of those redefined things. And then in 1990, when Iraq went in to take over Kuwait, we had to marshal hundreds of thousands of troops to lead a global effort to eject Iraq from Kuwait and get us back to a new normal. We haven't had to do that lately, and that's a big plus. Now, we still need to have a care about what's going on in the Middle East, and there's still lots of challenges involved. But this redefined our ability to cope with the inevitable crises that will develop in the Middle East sometimes, probably in the South China Sea in future times because of what China's done down there and elsewhere in the world, with parts of Africa and so on, where there could be interruptions of supply. But if we're not as dependent as we once were, we can provide a better leadership role for global efforts to contain those interruptions and those disruptions that come along.
Okay, so Tom Petrie, when we had this disruption just recently where oil had actually gone below $20 per barrel, that made it really difficult for our American independent producers. And so that disrupted that market. But now that oil prices have started to move back up, you know, what do you see from a big picture standpoint in that particular arena? Because I think our independent producers are so important.
They are important. And the issue we have is that in some cases, as the market came to grips with the shale revolution and its positive aspects, companies were able to do a lot of financing. Some of it was equity financing, where they sold shares in the market. But once they did that, when we were in a very reasonably priced debt market, they also took on a lot of debt. And so there's about $110 to $120 billion of debt out there for independent producers that has been placed and that will be coming due for repayment over the next 4 or 5 years. And at today's prices, yes, we're recovered from the lows below 20 to now something close to 40. Yesterday we were right flirting with 40, and now we're down more to 36, 37 in U.S. pricing. And the challenge that we're going to have with that is that the shale revolution is a lot more robust and a lot healthier on a long-term sustainable basis if we have oil prices in the 50-plus, preferably $55 to $65 a barrel. And that's still a good price and a very competitive long-term with other sources from Russia and Saudi and so on. But it does mean we're going to have a debt rollover challenge, not just this year, but for the next 2 to 4 years. And in some cases, they'll be involuntary, i.e. Chapter 11 restructurings. In other cases, there'll be preemptive restructuring. Some of that started to happen.
Okay, so Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners, let's go to break. When we come back, let's talk about what this means for the family that has been cooped up in their house during this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, and they're thinking about taking a trip in the family car and what the gas prices might look like for that. So let's go to break. This is Kim Munson, and we're talking with Tom Petrie. Stay tuned.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well, and go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me is Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners. They're an oil and gas investment firm, investment banking firm, located with offices here in Denver and then also in Houston. And Tom Petrie, I learned so much from our shows. It's just amazing. But I wanted to ask you, you know, the family that has been cooped up during this whole, you know, Wuhan virus thing, I think people are thinking about maybe we'll get in the car and we'll go someplace. Gas prices have recovered somewhat. I remember filling my tank up, I want to say around $1.70, $1.80 a gallon. I think I'm seeing around $2.35 now. So that's a pretty big swing. What does this mean for the family that wants to take a trip this summer?
Well, it's still a bargain compared to what the prices were last summer, as an example. But there's a whole lot of factors that go into it right now that where people have to think about it. We've got the concerns that we hear about daily about the contagion of coronavirus is not behind us. It's off the peaks in some places. I'm planning a trip this summer with my grandkids to one of the national parks and things like that. We're going to do that, but we're going to do it differently than we would have thought when we started planning this a year ago. But I do think I'm an optimist that more domestic travel will develop as part of our pattern of consumption in this country, because frankly, getting on the planes to go elsewhere in the world is a bigger decision, both health-wise and in terms of cost. Whereas there are a lot of wonderful things to see in this country, and driving to see it makes a big difference. My first trip outside of New England when I was growing up, at age 16, we drove across country from Massachusetts all the way to Seattle, to the Seattle World's Fair. And more of that, I think, will be part of the picture. I think the price is up from what was an incredible bargain at $1.80, because I remember that $1.70, $1.80 as well. I saw there's one filling station that never reduced their price. I think it was from $2.80, and it was an IQ test, I think, because it was a very, very convenient location where apparently the person counted on nobody ever looking at the price they were paying, because it was $2.80 all through the time of when a dollar cheaper was available just right around the corner.
And people were still driving in and filling up?
Yeah. I did it once, but I only did it once. It was an IQ test. I decided not to repeat that mistake.
That's funny. Two things I'd like to talk about, but with your experience, you said that you've seen, all over dozens of disruptions through your years in the business. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, there can be disruptions from too little, and there are disruptions from too big. So we'll talk about one of each. The first big one, the first noteworthy one of too little came in the Yom Kippur War in the fall, in October of 1973. And that war between Egypt and Israel was such that there was a real fear of oil being cut off, because the king of Saudi Arabia, King Faisal at that time, was quite offended by U.S. support of Israel. And there was an embargo declared, and there was a real fear of shortage. And we saw $3 oil in a very short period of time, 5 or 6 months, go all the way to about $13 or $14 a barrel. So that was disruptive. I was in New York at the time. I remember we had to line up early at 4:30 in the morning to get to a filling station in order to get gas whenever we needed to fill up our cars. If you fast forward about from that point, about 13 years later, 1986, we had just the opposite. During the interim period, oil had gone from $3 a barrel to $13 a barrel, and then from $13 a barrel to $39. Mm. And And that caused such an overstimulation of development of oil and such a an adverse impact on demand that oil fell from $39 a barrel to first to 34, then to 21. And ultimately, one cargo traded at $6 a barrel during that excess of supply. So it is inherently a volatile commodity, and just the normal cyclicality of the economy induces those kind of factors. But those are the two extreme examples that we've had where it can be disruptive when there's too much, or it can be disruptive when there's a fear of too little.
Okay, very interesting. One, and then we're just about out of time. But this is our health and hydrocarbon show. And Tom Petrie, reliable, efficient, and affordable energy makes my life better as a woman right here in the United States of America. But it really does amazing things for people in third world countries. So talk a little bit about that, Tom.
You're very correct about that. The efficiencies in the functioning of an economy when there's adequate supplies available at a reasonable price is very important. I served in Vietnam in 1969-70. That country has oil development today that has given it more efficiency. It's become the alternative to China for those who are thinking about where else in the world can I relocate to have a more diversified supply chain. And that creates job opportunities for both men and women and an improvement in the society and the functioning of a society. And there are hundreds of examples of that all through Asia, even in Africa. And there are obstacles that develop that have to be overcome. But without it, you're back in a different world, in a different century, where people are cooking in tents and being exposed to bad emissions and so on, whereas the cleanliness and the efficiency that comes from reasonable availability of oil makes all the difference in the world across the board for young, medium age, and old age people, for male, for female, and so on, but especially for lifting up those who've not had those advantages in the past.
Well, and you just mentioned something, and I'm thinking coronavirus. I mean, we have become a very clean society. You know, it's like wash your hands for a certain period of time, and, you know, we've become very, very clean, if you will. And
new
so,
habits.
Yeah, yeah. In cleanliness, think about it in third world countries, how that can just improve health.
Yes.
I think that's really important. I don't think people think about that enough, Tom Petrie.
We tend to take it for granted. Once we've had it and become used to it, we take it for granted. And it's always something that is worthwhile. My grandparents and my parents told me when I was growing up, you need to understand what it was like in the 1930s or what it was like at the turn of the century, 1900, and how far we've come from then and how fortunate we are. And similarly, that's true globally, too.
Well, and then one other thing regarding health and hydrocarbons. If people, women in third world countries, many times they have to spend a lot of their time going out and finding wood, dung, you know, different energy sources that they can burn to stay warm, to cook their food. But that is probably one of the dirtiest things that you can do for the air is to burn all that, just to have your life basically to be able to exist. And so once they improve and have more reliable and efficient and affordable energy through, you know, oil and gas development, then the air gets cleaner also in those areas.
That's true. There's a billion people out of the 7.5 billion people in the world who today still don't have those advantages, but they need to get them in order to be able to advance and have an improving lifestyle and value of life.
Okay. Hey, Tom Petrie, we have about a minute left. What is the takeaway you'd like our listeners to have today?
Well, I think we need to really keep faith. What happened yesterday, the calamitous decline, is a healthy correction. It helps keep us from taking things for granted. And And it's not like we're going back into the abyss that we were looking into 2 months ago. I think the self-corrective forces are in place, and we have to keep the faith and recognize it doesn't happen overnight, and we shouldn't take it for granted when the cycle begins to turn in our favor, which it has done, and we'll be doing, I think, the balance of this year, even with the challenges that will come.
Okay. And so, Tom Petrie, thank you so much. And I'd recommend that people go back and listen to your show from last month as well, because you told your story about, just kind of your life story, your career. And I find it very fascinating. So, Tom Petrie, thank you so much. You have a great weekend.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay.
Everybody else, too.
Thank you so much, Tom Petrie. Our quote for today is from Peter Drucker. And he said, the key to greatness is to look for people's potential and spend time developing it. What a great positive thought there. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. From my home, young, like a new-